us thank the Lord.
Desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I'd like to continue with the burden that we've been sharing over the last few weeks on the subject of called to follow. I'd like us to turn back over where we began this series in the 4th chapter of Matthew in the 18th verse. Said Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, and they followed him. Been giving consideration the last few weeks what it means to follow the Lord, and the faithfulness of God when we do follow Him. But I want us to consider this morning that when Jesus walked by and saw Peter and Andrew, He called to them, and He called them to follow Him. And I've been getting some phone calls, and I have the privilege, as you do too, most of us, I guess, to look and see who's calling. We look at caller ID. I want to know who's calling because there are some phone calls I don't answer. There's a call that keeps coming out of a call center out of Florida. And when I see a Florida number show up, I don't answer my call. I wish they'd quit calling. They're trying to sell me something. And I'm not interested right now. When I have time, I might deal with it, but I'm not interested. And so they keep calling over and over and over. And we look at it and say, well, who's calling? Am I the only one that does that? When your phone rings, said, oh, it's Brother Michael, put that down. You see, when the phone rings and you see who's calling, you have a decision to make. Am I going to answer the phone or not? Do I have time to talk to this person? They talk a long time. I'm busy right now. I think I'll just let it go. Maybe I'll get back to them later. Well, I found that if it's important enough, someone will leave a message and I can get back with them. And if y'all call and I don't pick up, I might be on the other line or I might phone may not be with. Please understand. Don't think, well, Brother Michael said, you feel free to call anytime. But it is a privilege that we're interested in knowing who is it that's calling. And in my mind as a child, we think about Simon and Peter and Andrew rather and out fishing. And this man that they didn't know came walking by named Jesus. And he said, oh, follow me. And they're like, well, I don't know who he is, but we'll follow him. Do you know that we're not to answer every call that comes? There are a lot of voices in the world. There are a lot of calls that we shouldn't be answering. And I wonder, what did they know about Jesus? Because this was not an arbitrary answer to a call. They knew something about the caller. Did you realize that? They knew something about the caller, and the evidence is given to us in the John chapter 1. And I'd like us to turn and read it. John chapter 1 and verse 35. The scripture says, two disciples heard him speak. Now, these were two disciples of John the Baptist. All right? So two of John the Baptist's disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now they had just heard John see Jesus, and John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So two of John's disciples, when they heard that, they weren't following John anymore. They left John and they started following Jesus. Let's read on. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, now this is John, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said, what seek ye? What are you looking for? Whom are you looking for? And they said, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted master. And he said, come and see. They said, where dwellest thou? And Jesus said, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt. And they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two One of the two disciples of John that heard him speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted Christ. Now, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And when he heard about Jesus, he recognized this is the one that we have been waiting for. And then he went and he told his brother Peter, "We found the Messiah. We found the Christ." And then I would assume, based on that information, that Matthew records the time that they were out fishing and they knew who Jesus was. They had already sat down with him and heard him teach and heard what he had to say. And then Jesus came walking along and he said, "Follow me." And they knew who they were answering. They knew who the caller was. This is the Messiah. I want to challenge you young people and children, don't answer every call that comes. The scripture says there are many voices in the world. There are many people and many things that are calling for you. They have your name. And they're calling, "Come and follow me." Our question ought to be, who is calling? Where am I getting this desire, this pull to go this direction? And over here there's a pull to go that direction. I want to know, who is it that's calling? What power is at work? And when Peter and Andrew answered the call, we want to emphasize this morning, they knew the caller. They knew who was calling. It was Jesus. It is not wise to answer and respond to every call. And I want to encourage us this morning to get to know the caller. Because when Jesus calls your name and you know who it is, that's who we need to respond to. Is this just my own thinking? Is this just pressure from my family? Is this just peer pressure from people that I'm around? Is this just the church? Who is this? Who is calling me? Do you know the caller this morning? What calls are you answering in your life? What pressures and what invitations are you responding to in your life? We need to know the caller. And I think about Peter another place over in Matthew chapter 14 when they were in the boat, they were in the ship, and the storm came, and Jesus came walking on the water, and they were afraid because they didn't know who it was. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer." He said, "It is I." Do you know they knew who that was? But there was still a little bit of question. Because when you're in the middle of the storm, you can start hearing lots of voices. And I'm not talking about insanity. You can start hearing and feeling lots of pressures to do this and do that, and someone gives you this counsel and someone else says do this. And so we need to know the voice of the caller, Jesus. And Peter responded to the Lord when he said, "Be of good cheer, it is I." Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, if it's you, bid me come to you." In other words, I want some confirmation. Because not everyone that says they are of God is of God. Not every prophet that says, "I am a man of God," is truly a man of God. Not everybody that says they are a church of God is really a church of God. "Lord, if this is you, bid me come to you." Do you know when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was walking on water, he knew that it was the Lord. He was a man of great faith. Yes, he began to sink when he looked around him, but he was the only one out of the boat. He said, "Lord, if it's you." I want you to verify who the caller is. Folks, there is nothing wrong with verifying the caller this morning. If you're not certain, beware that there are a lot of nuisance calls spiritually. There are a lot of pressures and influences that are being exerted on our lives. And if we're not careful, we can begin to think maybe this is the Lord. Every door that is opened is not God. God does open doors, but every door that is opened is not the Lord. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, but not every multitude of counselors is of God. You see, it's many things working together to verify. What does the Word of God say? What do the spiritual leaders say? What has been the practice of God's people? But Lord, more than anything, I want you to verify and bring together that this is the voice of the Lord. And when someone says, why did you make that major decision? Well, he told me, or they told me, or I felt pressure over here. I can say the Lord called me. And yes, it was verified by those that I had confidence in. The counsel and the advice and the door was open. But more than anything, the voice of the Lord spoke to me. Who's calling? Jesus asked His disciples, He said, who do men say that I am? And they began to recite the list of who people said. Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elias the prophet, and some say... But Jesus stopped and He said, but... In other words, it's really not good enough who everybody else says I am. He says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that the Lord is this morning? Who is God in your life? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but the Father hath revealed this unto you. Folks, I believe there is a need for us sitting right here this morning to have a greater revelation of who God is. Lord, give us, help us to know beyond what we have seen God do in other people's lives. Beyond what we have heard, and I'm thankful for all of those things, but we need to see Jesus for ourselves this morning because we've been called to follow Him. But who am I following? And how am I going to know what is acceptable in my life if I really don't know the one I'm following? There are some things that the Bible does not spell out this morning. There are some things that the Bible does not say, and there are some things it does say, thou shalt not, and thou shalt. But there are some things it doesn't spell it out that way. But the more that I've gotten to know the one that I'm following, the more that I've gotten to know the call, the one that called me to follow Him, someone say, why do you do it? It's because the Lord wants me to do that. How do you know that? Well, I know the Lord. You know, the more you get to know someone, the more you know their preferences and their likes and their dislikes. And you can ask someone, I could probably ask Sister Tammy a question about Brother Randy, a question that she has never asked him before. And she could probably tell me, well, Brother Randy think he would say thus and thus, or he would prefer to go here rather than there. He said, well, how do you know that? Well, you've lived with them for how many years? For 40 years. And they may have never discussed that thing. But yet, she knows him. Folks, this is why it's important for us to get to know who we are following. Because the Bible doesn't spell everything out, but when we know who's calling our name, when we know that this is Jesus and I've been following Him, then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord. I want to get to knowing better and I can know more and more how to serve Him acceptably. Lord, if it's You, bid me come to You. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have need in this generation of more divine revelation of who God is. Folks, we cannot live on the blessings of the past. I've been very burdened recently in some of the other studying that I've been doing. I'm very burdened and concerned about where we are as a people. But it is not enough to pull out the history books. It is not enough. It's important for us to know the history, but we need to see God for ourselves this morning. We need to have a vision that when others, when we have this list on the board of those that have fallen away, are we going to go that way too? We might. To him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. But we don't have to if we can get a little closer to the Lord. If we can know what this is all about. Why do we live like we do? Why are there places we don't go? Is it just tradition? Is it just because our forefathers didn't do that? Folks, if that's all it is, we are on a shaky foundation. But when we know what the Word says and we know who's calling us, we can go out and be different than the world is with confidence because I know who I'm answering the call. I know who's calling me. It's the Lord. And as I serve Him, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows and the more I get to know Him. The more I get to know Him, we need divine revelation this morning. It is amazing what divine revelation can do in our life. If you will turn with me to the book of Isaiah in the 6th chapter. Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. This is the prophet speaking, and he had a vision. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Have you seen the Lord this morning? If you haven't, folks, start asking God to reveal Himself to you. If you have questions about truth, if you have questions in the way that mom and dad have taught it and the way they have lived, I just don't see it that way. Before you make major changes, get a revelation of who God is. He said, I saw the Lord. I saw Him. And it said He was sitting on a throne. When you see someone sit on a throne, it symbolizes authority and kingship and power. And He said He was high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. And each one had six wings. Now get a little picture. Around the throne of God, there were seraphims. And there are different translations. The only place actually that that word seraphim is used, I believe, is those fiery serpents that bit the Israelites in the wilderness. We know that's not what he was talking about. But the word seraph means to burn. So there were beings, there were living creatures around the throne of God that were burning, representing their zeal and enthusiasm and the glory of God. And they had six wings. And two of the wings, it said, with two of them, it said they covered their face. And two wings covered their feet, and with two wings they had to fly. And then he said, they cried one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Understand this beautiful picture here of these seraphims. In the Chaldee, the writing translated such, and it says, the holy minister stood on high in His presence. The ministers of the Lord, those that were around the throne of God, ready to do the bidding of God. Sounds like an angel, isn't it? Whether it is celestial or earthly, an angel, someone ready to carry the message of the Lord. And those six wings, you know, wings in and of themselves denote rapidity of movement. Something rapid. Something quick. And with two of those wings, it said they covered their face. That was a sign of reverence. We're in the presence of God. I can't even stand to look at the power and the mighty and the glory, and out of reverence and honor to His position. You know, when you go before a king, you bow. I'm covering up my eyes in the presence of Your glory. And with two of their wings, it says they covered their feet. That was an Eastern custom, especially that when you are in the presence of royalty, you're to have your feet covered. And here we have before the throne of God, They were out of respect, covering up their feet. And those that read it at this time would understand that. It was a custom again in the East. They covered their feet. It was a mark of respect. And then they had two wings with which to fly to carry the commission to take the gospel, to do the bidding of the Lord. They were around the throne. You know, this paints a picture that I hope that for many is kind of sounds familiar. If you will turn over to the book of Revelation in the fourth chapter, you see Isaiah got a vision of God. He's the one that's calling us this morning. In verse 6, in the sixth chapter, he said, I heard a voice. This is John the Revelator now seeing God. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. And remember, that word beast was, it was an unfortunate translation. That word should be translated living creature. I saw four living creatures. And I heard in the midst of the four beasts, and I don't want to read all of this for the sake of time. Let's move on down just a little bit. Verse 6 said, before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. This is of chapter 4, verse 6. There was a sea of glass like unto crystal in midst of the throne, and around the throne were four beasts, full of eyes. So four living creatures. And the first beast was like a lion, the second was like a calf, the third had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts, and each of them had six wings. See, there's a similar picture that Isaiah had, just like John the Revelator. They had six wings, they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and which is to come. And you read on down here, and we find the 24 elders falling down before the throne, giving honor and glory to the Father. Now, just as a reminder, these four living creatures that have six wings, they represent the church. It is noteworthy that the tradition, the Jewish tradition states that the 12 tribes of Israel, they camped under four insignias, under four flags. One of them had on the flag was a lion. One of them had the face of a man. One of them was an eagle, and the other was a calf. That's what the children of Israel camped under. One to the east, one to the north, one to the south, and one to the west. So then we take this information and say, so what is this talking about? It's talking, and then we look at the characteristics of a lion, is power and reigning. The face of a man represents intelligence. Well, that's what it represents when it's compared to animals. And you look at the calf, and it represents sacrifice. The calf that was offered as a sacrifice. And then an eagle, one that has eyes that can see and one that can soar above the clouds. Those are characteristics of God's people. When we're following the Lord, when the children of Israel were following the Lord, they camped under those insignias. Do you know this morning that represents God's people of the old dispensation and the new dispensation? So when Isaiah saw a picture of God sitting on His throne, he saw these beings on fire. Do you know the Lord wants us to be in that number this morning? He wants us to be honoring and reverencing the Lord. What this generation has done, they are losing their fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom this morning. We need to know who's calling us. It's God. It's Jesus. It's the Son. And we find that they were saying back and forth, holy, holy, holy. And that's what John the Revelator heard as well. Holy, holy, holy. You know this morning that God is a holy God, and you can get into discussions and you can go to all various kinds of churches, but do you recognize that if we don't have a vision of God as a holy God, we're not going to be living in holiness either. Because we are to become like the one that we are following. God is a holy God. And so in verse 5, going back to the book of Isaiah, and before we get there in Revelation chapter 4, it said that those 24 elders, and we say, who was that? It represents again the early morning, the church in the new dispensation, the church in the old dispensation. 12 apostles, 12 tribes, the 12 patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. It represents the whole church around the throne of God. And they were falling down before the throne in honor and humility. Saints, I want to, by the help of the Lord, encourage us this morning to show reverence to God. Show reverence to Him. He's the one that's calling us today. But who are we following? I need such a vision of who God is that my heart is humbled and I submit myself in the presence of the Almighty God. We are living in a generation that is too casual to say, well, I don't believe it that way. Well, what is it we don't believe? Are we talking about the Word? Are we talking about what Jesus taught? Lord, give us a vision of God that when I get in the presence of God, all of my thinking and my opinions, Lord, I just cast them at Your feet and I acknowledge You as God. And then we find that Isaiah, in the presence of a holy God, this is what happened. Verse 5, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We can sit in our congregations, and we can talk about what people should do and what they shouldn't do. But do you know there is nothing like recognizing what we need to do? There's nothing more than coming into the presence of God and seeing His holiness and then looking at ourselves and saying, Lord, I am undone. I believe part of the problem is that we can propagate a truth of saying, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't do that. And people either reject that, well, I don't have to listen to you. And so they reject it out of hand, or they say, okay, we'll submit to the teachings of this group of people. What we need more than anything this morning is to come into the presence of the Almighty God and see His holiness. And the Lord has been showing me a little bit of that this week and some issues that I was considering, and we have our earthly wisdom and our earthly opinions. And then we come into the presence of God and everything starts falling into place because I've seen the Lord. If you don't see this morning, if there's confusion, if there's things you don't understand, our prayer should be, Lord, help me to see You. Because when I see God in His holiness, I begin to recognize how desperately I am in need of something from Him. Folks, we do not have any righteousness of our own this morning. If we think that we can be so spiritual that we've got it all figured out, you come into the presence of a holy God and we're going to be just like Isaiah. Lord, woe is me. I have nothing of myself. I'm unclean, but I have seen, mine eyes have seen the King. Well, I thought we'd get a little bit further than this morning as well. But I don't want to leave it being unclean. Let's just read what happened and maybe we'll pick up with it. But verse 6, when Isaiah acknowledged his neediness before God, God did not leave him in that condition. It said the seraphim, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal off of the altar. A live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off of the altar, he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Folks, when we recognize who's calling us and we come into the presence of God, it begins to show us our neediness. It shows us where we are weak and undone, but the Lord does not want to leave us in that condition. He had one of the seraphims take a coal, something burning hot, and it touched his lips that he had just professed they're unclean. And it touched his lips, and God purified him and took away his sin. Isaiah did not do anything to deserve that except to acknowledge, woe is me. Mine eyes have seen the King, and God sent something to purify him. Just a little foreshadowing, let's look ahead just a little bit to know what's coming. It was after he was purified that the Lord God asked a question. He said, who will go for me? Who's going to answer the call? Whom shall I send? Isaiah then said, Lord, here am I. Send me. But that was not his first response when he saw the King. When he first saw the holiness of God, he recognized, Lord, I need something from you. We will conclude there for this morning. But I want us to know this morning that we have a great need to see God in His holiness. And we can try to establish our own righteousness this morning. We can say, okay, you need to button up this high and you need to have it this long. And you need to not go there, and you shouldn't listen to that, and you shouldn't watch that. And you know what? There's a place for teaching. And I hope that you all have gotten some of that. But what call am I answering? Who am I following after? Who am I trying to please this morning? And maybe I struggle with those things, but when I come into the presence of God, and I see this is a holy God, He's pure. He's undefiled. And I say, Lord, woe is me. And the Lord has an answer to our unrighteousness. Who do you say the Lord is this morning? Have you seen the King? Let's pray for greater revelation in areas that we might struggle with. Lord, help me see you. And it will start to dispel our human thinking, our human wisdom, the pressures of the world around us. They begin to be minimized because mine eyes have seen the holiness of God.